your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, so I have a theory, just reading the tea leaves, looking out at Houston sports Twitter, you know, the sports scene in general. I don't think that Texans fans are in love with quarterback at number one, specifically the position. I believe they're in love with Bryce Young at number one. Because if I start selling to you, look, we just did it with Anthony Richardson. If I start selling to you Anthony Richardson, number one to the Houston Texans, what do you think the response from Texans fans is?
Pushback.
Absolutely. They hate it.
Just bash it. Yep.
We just mentioned it with the Browns
trash
pick.
It.
Browns could be picking number 12. It would be the 12th pick right now. Yes, people would be trashing it. Texans right now picking 12. We just entertained the idea Anthony Richardson at 12, and people can't stand that. And what if I told you C.J. Stroud at number one? I don't think people would mind that
as much. I agree.
As much. I think Stroud would probably be the second most popular quarterback at one. But what if I told you Will Levis? Because a lot of people think, look, Mel Kiper, and look, I know we bang on Mel Kiper. We make fun of Mel Kiper. I'm not saying that Mel Kiper's big board is the holy grail. But Mel Kiper's been in the business for a very long time. I don't think that he's chopped liver when it comes to evaluating draft prospects. Sure, he has misses, but he also has hits, just like any general manager in the NFL has hits and misses.
He's got a price, Jeremy.
And that's fair. Like, I don't blame him for getting a little bit of side hustle. I admire that. I tip my cap to Mel Kiper. Get a couple more dollars in the pocket. If I sold to you Will Levis at number one, what kind of grief do you think I would take?
A lot.
Absolutely. The Texans fans don't want quarterback at one. They want Bryce Young at number one. Don't fool yourselves. Well, it's not quarterback at one, it's Bryce.
But let's also take that a step further, because we know that we're in a 24-second news cycle, right? And we know the value and the importance and the magnitude and the muscle of social media. And all that Texans fans see on social media, no matter which NFL writer and who they follow that's an NFL quote-unquote expert, is Bryce Young's going to look great in red, white, and blue next year. Mm-hmm. Bryce Young as a Texan is going to be exactly what they need. Can't wait till Bryce is in Houston so that we can see him do his thing on the next level. So then they see that, they read that, and they go, oh, it's a no-brainer. We've got to have this guy. And on top of it, he plays for Nick Saban at Alabama, gets a lot of extra run on TV week to week in college football, and they are 100% bought in.
I don't entirely disagree with where Jeremy's coming from, but what I would say is I think they want a franchise quarterback at one, and they believe that Bryce Young is that. They don't believe that about the other guys.
But that's also like buying the hype, because of the fact that when they see him play at Alabama, he's running up the score. He's winning games. He's doing the things that everybody believes is, because their idea of getting a franchise quarterback one means from day one, he shows he can play the position in the NFL too, and he is going to be great. And then they don't want the concerns and the worries of the guys that aren't winning football games in college.
I think, to go a step further, I think you talk about buying the hype. I would almost bet if Richardson or Young catch hype as we get in deeper into mock draft season,
yeah,
that's going to change. People are going to...
I don't agree.
I don't agree. I don't think there's enough time and enough magnitude games for those.
Sure. I think the time's there. I would disagree about the time, but I think that people are already pot committed on Bryce Young. I don't think anything can change it barring like an injury. Honestly,
Time, now Stroud's going to be in the playoff. He could go nuts. Yeah. He could make some phenomenal play or two, like the Clowney play a couple years ago that elevated him even higher in the draft, and everybody started paying more attention to him. He could do a few things, but I think that the groundwork has been laid over two seasons and the Heisman a year ago and everything that's happened since then for Bryce Young, that it would be tough to say that they could forget all of that and suddenly be totally enamored with somebody else.
It happens in every other city. I think it's unlikely that Houston is different in that way. If somebody catches hype, and I'm not saying it will happen.
But what's it, like, what is going to create the hype? How fast they run a 40? I don't understand what the hype is, like, where it's going to come from, other than Joel's point.
Does it not happen? I feel like it's incredibly... Trey Lance wasn't being talked about as a top five pick, and then all of a sudden... He did. It absolutely happens.
But
without
he didn't.
Games being played.
He wasn't number one
exactly.
quarterback.
That's what I was about to say. Like, he wasn't the top guy. He still didn't pass the top guy.
It doesn't happen every year, but it absolutely happens that people catch a bunch of hype.
I believe that. I'm not arguing with that. Like, I understand what you're saying. Anthony Richardson could be that guy this year, but there's no level of hype that Anthony Richardson could like acquire that all
media.
Of a sudden is. I understand that. But what, like, all of that stuff that you're saying, the hype from the media, all this hype that he could acquire, all this hype that's going to send him like soaring up mock drafts, that's not going to change the mind of the city of Houston wanting Bryce Young. The city of Houston is committed to Bryce.
There's not enough obstacles to get over in terms of the groundwork that's been laid pro Bryce Young for the fan base to change their mind. Now, to the pushback that I would have to you guys saying there's still plenty of time, but the time is going to be the remaining games left. And then, like you said, Brendan, between workouts and things, which I don't think are valued as high, but I think that because you got a Stroud in the playoffs, he could do like Justin Fields did, even though they got, remember when the toughness, he got knocked out, kept coming back, taking big hits, kept coming back, making plays. And then he makes another spectacular play or two and people go, wow, he's got toughness. He's got size. He's got the measurables. And he can lead his team to, you know, to stay into the game. That's the kind of guy we want. Mm-hmm. But do we want him more than the guy that's unequivocally the number one guy in the draft?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to flip in the city.
I don't either.
Buddy D.O. texted me saying Alabama quarterbacks are trending to elite. First off, I don't think it's fair to compare previous college university quarterbacks to their current quarterback that they have. Like in this case, you're looking at Bryce Young and you're comparing it to Mac Jones. Like, that's not apples to apples. Those are two very different players. And I wouldn't call Mac Jones elite. I don't think Jalen Hurts learned how to throw a football until he went to Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma.
Probably.
So I wouldn't consider Jalen Hurts an Alabama quarterback. I would say he's an Oklahoma quarterback. And the dude that beat out Jalen Hurts, Tua, I mean, he's been up and down. Like, in the last 2 weeks, he's been terrible. Prior to the last 2 weeks, he looked like an MVP. I hesitate calling him elite.
Well, you know I do, too, until I see him in the playoffs this year. But, when you look at the situation, the fans are wanting the sure thing, and there's just not sure things anymore, especially with kids coming out earlier in the draft. But that's where the hype comes from, too. That's where the decision-making amongst fans in their minds and their mentality come from, too. They want that. When you have the number one overall pick in the draft, you're supposed to get a guy that's a can't-miss prospect. You're supposed to get the guy that has the least amount of flaws and the best chance to succeed. I worry about Bryce Young's size. I worry not just his height, his weight.
Yeah.
I worry, and if he has to put on weight and get stronger and wider, I'm worried about what that does to his throwing skills and his ability to play the position.
I went back and watched Bryce Young yesterday, first half of the LSU game. I wanted to pick the best defense he played. They didn't play Georgia this year. I think LSU is the best defense that they played. I went back and watched the first half of that yesterday, and there are certain things that from Bryce Young. And look, Bryce Young's still my favorite quarterback in this draft. Let me be very clear. Bryce Young's still my favorite quarterback in this draft. But didn't play as well as like you would expect against the top defense that he played all year. In fact, he looked pretty bad at times, looked very mediocre. Secondly, the whole mindset that Bryce Young is so elusive that he can avoid major contact is flat out not true, at least in the first half of that game, because he was getting hit repeatedly. If you go back to the Texas game as well, he got hit repeatedly in that game. So like the thought that Bryce Young is so elusive that because he's so elusive, he's going to avoid all sorts of contact. You don't have to worry about his size because his elusiveness is so good. I feel like that's not true. I feel like it's fundamentally false, actually. 713-780-ESPN. And a little dude getting hit in the NFL?
And I feel
worried
like
about that.
He needs to be the one that pushes and keeps calling the NFL and saying, keep calling that roughing the passer when they land with their full body weight on the quarterback, because he's going to get squished. Because he's at 180 pounds, when 360 pounds lands on top of him, all it takes is one. But he's going to take it multiple times in a game if he's trying to be elusive. And if he's elusive and just once zigs when he should have zags and gets crushed, it's a lot more difficult for a guy that's 180 to sustain that and bounce back as it is a quarterback that's 6'4", and 225, 240.
Todd brings up a good point. He injured his shoulder this year against Arkansas and had to sit another game after that, too, because he was banged up. 713-780-ESPN. I have a theory that Houston isn't in love with quarterback at one. They're in love with Bryce Young at number one. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Kevin, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Kevin?
Great conversation. I agree wholeheartedly with all three of you all. In my opinion, I think it is Bryce Young and no one else. In my opinion, I think this quarterback class is overrated. Coming from the hype that it received previously, before the college season began, I do agree with Joel that Stroud has an opportunity here to possibly become one. If he goes into the playoffs and plays well against Georgia and then leads his team into a championship, you could have a conversation that he could be one. Number three, I agree wholeheartedly with Jeremy, is that the Texans fans want Bryce Young, but Bryce Young have been very inconsistent this year, as Jeremy said. He did not play as well this year as he did the previous year. But great conversation, guys. I love the show. Keep doing the good work.
I like how Kevin patted us all on the back. I like calls like that, dishing out the compliments. Thanks for listening, Kevin. Thanks for tuning into the Hive. Hope you call more often. Somebody texted in about Vince Young. 4622. Texans let us down, not drafting Vince Young. They need to draft Bryce Young, which is an interesting case study looking back at like the Vince Young draft versus the Bryce Young draft, because Houston, they did want Vince Young. Vince Young was Superman in the city of Houston. Vince Young was filling up the Astrodome to 60% capacity as a high school football player, where he and Courtney Lewis were the only two decent football players on that team, and he was beating a juggernaut like North Shore deep into the playoffs in a regional final. Vince Young was that dude in the city of Houston. Then he went to Texas, which isn't too far away from Houston, right, and he continued to build up his fame and the story and the heroics of Vince Young. Beat the, some people call, the greatest college football team ever assembled in USC in the Rose Bowl. And the Texans and Houston fans desperately wanted Vince Young. Texans didn't do it. They drafted Mario Williams and quite honestly got the pick right.
I was going to say, that is as ballsy a move as you can make, but it's the one that you need a guy in the position of general manager to be willing to make and have the guts to make, because it was the right move. It turned out the right way. But it was the most unpopular move that could have been made at the time, because like you said, it's like the Rockets when they passed on Clyde Drexler. I mean, Clyde Drexler, who went to Sterling High School and went to U of H and was sitting there right there for the taking, and they drafted Rodney McCray.
That one
now,
wasn't
that
right.
Didn't work out the same way in the same for the team. But in this case with the Texans and VY, it turned out that they made the right move. But you like the fact, too, that the general manager, if we've been saying all along, is you got to trust your gut. You got to go with what you believe and have done the homework enough to know that you're making the educated decision that is going to work out the best for this franchise. You can't be swayed by the fan base like this franchise is with all the other decisions they make as it relates to marketing and other things.
We'll get to some of your calls, your text, 713-780-ESPN. I think Houston's already pot committed. Texans fans are already pot committed. It ain't QB at one, it's Bryce Young at one. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Texans don't care about quarterback at one. They only care about one quarterback. They only care about Bryce Young at number one. And I believe it's a mistake. I really do. I'm willing to say that on December 14th.
So you don't think Bryce Young's going to be a good NFL quarterback?
That's not what I'm saying.
I'm asking.
I think Bryce Young has a chance to be a good NFL quarterback if he's in a good situation. And if I'm the Houston Texans, I'm not hitching my wagon to Bryce Young. I'm trading down. I'm going Jalen Carter if I can trade down.
And so are you passing on a quarterback altogether then?
I'll see what the market is, that whatever the Browns pick is. I'll see what the market's at 32. I don't hate the idea of going rookie quarterback in the third or fourth round. I know that's, you have that with Davis Mills. Yeah, but roll the dice. If it doesn't work, great, fine. I'll get the quarterback next year. If it does work, great. I got a third or fourth round starting quarterback.
Yeah, I don't like the situation where if you do pass on a Bryce Young, that you feel pressure that you have to take a quarterback. I really feel strongly that they have to have all their eggs in whoever basket that they're looking at quarterback-wise, and then be willing to say unequivocally, that's the guy we've got to have. And if you have any apprehension, if you have more question marks than you should drafting that high, having your pick of any quarterback, then maybe it is, you know, time for you to think about going in another direction. But if you go in another direction, then unless a Hendon Hooker slides to you later in the draft or something like that, and you can take a chance, and you're not, again, using like a second-round pick or a pick that could
see, I don't think it's possible with Hooker.
You think he's not going to get by the second round?
No. He'll be a top two-round quarterback, okay, in my belief, yeah.
See, if he ends up in the third round, you know, that, and we've seen this with Davis Mills, but we've seen this with guys that have slid, Justin Reed, when he slid to the third round. But if he ends up sliding into the third round, then I could see where there's something you could consider. But other than that, I don't want them to feel forced into, we've got to get a quarterback in this draft, and then taking a guy you're not 100% in on.
Yeah, that's my biggest fear, too. And I don't think it's the best way to build where the Texans are in their current situation. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Lamont, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Lamont?
Hey, man, Brandon, Jeremy, to answer your question, I think you're right. I know I'm at Bryce number one, which is kind of odd because you backed us into your argument, your argument that you've been making for the last couple of days. So you're right on that. But I will say this: when you guys were talking earlier about could the time up there in Ohio State, if he was to do something, in the playoffs, could that change people's minds? I'm living witness. It can change people's minds, because going back to what you guys were saying with Vince Young and Mario Williams, if you correctly remember that year, it was either Vince Young or Reggie Bush in the city. My God, man, we were talking about this for months leading up to this. It was like 50-50.
Yep.
But Vince Young, without the playoffs, he won that one game, and it changed overnight. All of the fans thought that Vince Young should have been the pick. It instantly changed overnight. My last question to you guys, with the Josh Robinson, and I know this is off the beaten path, getting fired up in Tennessee, it just hit me. Could this whole Malik Williams, the Malik kid that got drafted, could that be part of the reason he got fired?
Appreciate the call, Lamont. I don't think Malik Willis is part of the reason that
he got fired. I think A.J. Brown had played a big role in why Robinson got fired.
I think it was cumulative, and that was kind of
the
icing
on the cake.
Punch.
That was,
yeah. I don't think Malik Willis had anything to do with it, because Malik Willis was such a late draft pick. You're not firing a general manager based on what they're doing in the middle of the draft, especially one that's like winning AFC South titles. I think that was more cumulative. I think it had a lot to do with maybe him and Mike Vrabel not necessarily getting along. Now, Stroud, like what he does in the playoffs, to me, that was the only example, and I agree with you, Lamont, where like it could flip the mind of the city, where C.J. Stroud has a Vince Young type of performance in the playoffs against Georgia, whoever they would play in the college football championship game, the final. I think that could flip opinions. The argument was more to like what could happen in combines to Anthony Richardson. I don't feel like anything's going to flip the script between Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis based on media combine stuff that's off the football field. The only example that I think would flip it some is if Stroud just goes nuts in the playoffs.
The easiest way is definitely Stroud. Like, no doubt about it, that's the easiest way.
And I would, and the Lakers and I say that's the only way.
As somebody who believes it's not, what I would say, it doesn't necessarily have to be something that happens off the field. I think that, like, obviously in Houston, we've been focused on drafts since, like, preseason. But a national media people, outside of your, you know, your Mel Kuypers, your Todd McShays, a lot of them start focusing on the draft harder. There are more, like, there are just more thoughts that are generated by looking into these players after the season is over.
No, I agree with all of that. Like, we're not having a disagreement on how like the buzz and the momentum is built.
But I'm saying it doesn't even have to be off the field. It doesn't have to be combined. It doesn't have to be like there could be like I'm not going to pretend I'm sitting here watching Florida every week.
Sure.
Like, there are people who are going to go and look deeper into that stuff and have more firm opinions.
We agree on all of that. What our disagreement is that I don't believe any of that happening can overpass and surpass Bryce Young. The only way
can
is
it ever,
Stroud.
Or they're just so high on him?
That's my point. Is like the city is already so high on Bryce Young that it's Bryce Young or bust. People can't entertain the idea of Will Levis at number one. People can't entertain the idea of Anthony Richardson at number one. If like those are quarterbacks, those are faces of the franchise. You're drafting any quarterback at number one, that is a face of the franchise. But nobody in the city would sign up for. I shouldn't say no, because now I'm talking about the whole city. I would say a very small percentage of the fan base would be okay with Levis or Richardson at number one.
If that's the case, I'm super curious where Bryce Young would rank if you were just to do like a power ranking of how Houston felt about quarterbacks over the last 5 years or so. Like, is Bryce Young in Houston's mind the best quarterback prospect
years? Yes, I would say yes. And I think it's overrating Bryce Young.
See, I also think that this would be a different conversation if there was still half the college football season to be played. Because I think then there would be legit enough time for anybody to still throw their name in the hat as being someone that the fan base would get enamored with and consider. And then if, with that time, they played their tail off and they made highlight plays, but then they also made, you know, they led their team to victories and led drives, that you could finally start going, hey, everybody's talking about that game. Instead of watching Levis put mayonnaise in coffee and hear him at the start of the season be considered one of the top quarterback prospects and go, oh, the Texans could possibly take him. But then the minute that he doesn't play well in his first two games at Kentucky, you go, yeah, okay, well, that was a flash in the pan, just like Richardson making the one play early in the season and then completely looking like he can't throw the ball where it needs to be thrown made everybody less enamored with him. Bryce Young's done it over 2 years because he won a Heisman. He beat Texas in the on the final drive that he had.
See, I wouldn't point to the Texas game as a feather in Bryce's cap.
They give him a lot of credit for that, for being the guy that led the whole game.
The final drive was fine. The first 3.5 quarters, not a feather in Bryce Young's cap.
But he still got credit for when the team needed him most, he put the whole team on his shoulders and led him down the field for victory.
I do think Joe's right. He catches a lot of credit for that.
He does.
He does.
It was an impressive drive. And, if you weren't, locked in all game, you were locked in for that.
So, right. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that he does get a lot of flowers for that final drive.
So that's what I'm saying.
I think the body of work in that game was not a positive for Bryce Young.
I think if there was more time left on the schedule, knowing now that you're going to be picking 1-1.
Sure, but there's not. I mean, we're not talking about this in September. We're talking about it right now.
From a fan perspective, I think that's the only thing that could possibly sway fans at this point where we are already this far down the road. I don't think anybody is changing their opinion. And again,
that happened. Like, the thing that you're describing happened. And it happened in favor of Bryce Young.
But now everybody reads from John McClain to, Ian Rappaport, whoever the NFL guys, all saying Bryce Young's going to look great in a Texans uniform next year and can't wait to see him get to Houston. And they're all like, well, we know who they should be taking. They got to get Bryce Young.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. Like, it's pot committed already. Kevin from Houston, let's not overthink this, right? We've seen Young play consistently, play well over the course of 2 seasons. Now on basically the biggest stage of college football, it's too risky to try and tank for another year for Caleb Williams. There's no guarantee that Williams is going to be better or repeat what he did this year. We've seen what Bryce can do. He seems like as sure of a decision as you can get. And when you have that opportunity, you take it. Might not work out. Of course, there's always a possibility it won't work out with any player. Thanks for the dissertation, Kevin. Here's the thing. Like, you can't tell me that Caleb is not a sure thing, but then act like Bryce Young is a sure thing. It exists for both of them. Both of them have bust potential.
Yep.
So if you're going to sell me on bust potential for Caleb Williams, that's fine and dandy. But you also have to do it for Bryce Young, a 5'9 quarterback who weighs a buck 80 soaking wet. So, like, you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth there. And as far as tanking, no one's saying tank for the Houston Texans to get Caleb Williams. Like, Caleb Williams to me is kind of an afterthought here. Like, I have fun with Caleb Williams. I do love Caleb Williams. I think Caleb Williams is a much better pro prospect than Bryce Young is as a pro prospect. I have fun with the whole Pat Mahomes thing. If he's Mahomes, do you have to do anything to get Bryce Young, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But you can't sit here and say that Caleb Williams has bust potential and then also say that Bryce Young does not. Like, it just doesn't add up. Every player that's ever been drafted in the history of the league has bust potential. 713-780-3776.
And I just add to that, the one thing that I always say, and I always started by saying when the NBA started letting the kids come in one and done, that it changed the entire outlook of what a draft meant. It used to be you were guaranteed a really, really, really good player if you had a top pick. Now you were drafting on potential. That could either get you a raise or get you fired if you're a general manager. It could be boom or bust. And I think that, not that it's cut and dried, boom or bust. Yeah, Bryce Young has a ton going for him that says he's going to be successful, but there are no guarantees. And now there are less guarantees when guys can come out early and guys are going to capitalize because financially they can come out and no matter whether they can do it or not, they're going to get paid to do it and paid well.
713-780-ESPN. Back to the HRMP listener line for JC. JC, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Been listening to the whole conversation. And as a true diehard Texans fan, I am not enamored with Bryce Young at number one. I know you guys say, the whole city is, but I am not. I'm worried about his size and everything else. And I would like to see us take defense and maybe a quarterback with the Cleveland Browns pick, or in the second round. Hooker may be there, but I just don't like the idea of us taking him with all the concerns.
I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you, JC. I think that we're in the minority, though. And maybe Brendan can put up a poll on our Twitter account. I always love to give Brendan more work, as if he doesn't work enough. But he's only here a little bit of the time. He's not always here. He works very few days. I think that we're in the minority there. I really do, JC. Like, trading down whenever you have a quarterback that most of the city loves in Bryce Young, who was a Heisman Trophy winner 2 years ago, plays in the SEC, plays at Alabama, a lot of buzz, a lot of attention. It's a city that's desperate for a franchise quarterback. It's a city that's desperate to be competitive in football games, that a lot of times you're willing to make uneducated decisions based on your desperation to be relevant again. And a quarterback in the NFL brings you to relevance in the NFL. I'm saying if you draft Bryce Young in a very, very bad situation, I think the talk that he's going to lead this franchise to glory is silly, quite honestly.
Well, you know what, Jeremy? Again, in the spirit of the discussion, and looking at it from your point of view, the two things that do lend myself to seeing your point of view is, one, because if you don't put a foot, more so than any other quarterback in this draft, based on the measurables, this is the guy that has to have guys around him, or he's going to get squished. Plain and simple, right? If this is the guy you're focused on, if this is your 1-1, and so you've got to be acutely aware of that. And then the other thing I go back to is what I said about the general manager. You got to have the balls to be able to make a tough decision. And if you believe that none of these quarterbacks have everything that you're looking for in a quarterback, even though the whole city is convinced you have to take quarterback and you have to take that quarterback, you got to have some pretty big stones to be able to say, we're passing on quarterbacks this year. I know you guys aren't going to be happy with it, but we know what we've seen and what we believe is best for this football team.
That part scares me, too, is that I do want a GM with the bravado to make the right decision and not what's in the best interest of the fans. 713-780-ESPN. We'll continue the conversation. 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, if you're looking to take out the trash or you're doing some things around the house, like maybe cleaning out the garage, maybe doing some renovations, cleaning out the attic, and you've thought about what you need to do, what you need to get rid of, and who you need to do the work to maybe make the renovations, but maybe you haven't thought about who's going to take care of all of the other stuff, getting rid of that trash, getting rid of that stuff you don't want, getting rid of the extras on the renovation. That's why you go Vivia, because Vivia takes care of everything so you don't have to. Basically, all they do is bring their 10 and 15 foot rollaway dumpsters right to you. They put it in the driveway. It fits perfectly. And basically, if you tell them, I need it dropped off in the morning, picked up after like 3 o'clock, they're going to come get it. They're going to drop it off. They're going to do everything you need to do so you don't get your hands dirty and your entire project keeps moving along. That's why they take care of their customers. They do this for homeowners. They do this for professional contractors as well and project managers. Texas Custom Patios, who advertises on this station, they love using Vivia for all their waste needs. We use them for our golf tournament. You can use them too. It's 5-star service. Just schedule it. Call today. Explain your dumpster needs. They are going to take care of you. 15-yard rollaway dumpster, 10-yard rollaway dumpster. They look good. Your HOA won't be on your rear end. And the curb appeal doesn't go down. And again, like I said, and it won't sit there for days on end. They'll drop it off in the morning and pick it up at night if that's how you want it done. Call them today. Check them out and see if they have something that's right for you. If you've got anything going on, they're the company to call. 832-699-1555 or govavia, govavia.com.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It's time for the Killer Bees to buy you some barbecue, to pick up your tab when you go to Rudy's. Join us as we celebrate Christmas a little early with ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Season of Giving. Today we're giving away $50 gift cards to Rudy's Barbecue. Check out their delicious barbecue at any of their 6 conveniently located Houston area spots. Caller number 11 to 713-780-3776 wins $50 to Rudy's Barbecue. Tune in all December long for our Season of Giving, and don't forget to join us Friday, December 23rd for our annual Christmas party, 7A to 10A at Klein's Jewelry, and then it rolls down the street to Nick's Place from noon until 7. Make sure you're tuning into the Wheelhouse, too. The Wheelhouse is going to buy you some barbecue from Rudy's Barbecue as well. Having the conversation, I think that the Texans fans, the city of Houston that roots for the local 11, it's not necessarily they want quarterback at one. It's that they want one very specific quarterback. They're already pot committed to Bryce Young at number one, which I think is some flawed logic. There's a lot of people that don't think Bryce Young's the best player available in this draft, maybe not even top two. There's some thought that Bryce Young isn't the best quarterback in this draft. And I would say, even if you believe those things, I do believe Bryce Young's the best quarterback in this draft. I don't believe the Texans situation is good enough for a rookie quarterback to excel in. Can it get there? Yeah, but they have to do a lot of things across the board. They have to hit on all of them. They have to hit on Bryce Young. They have to hit on a receiver. They have to hit on a center. They have to hit on a guard. They have to hit on development of Kenyon Green. They probably have to hit on a wide receiver one. They might even have to hit on a tight end. So check off all those boxes if you think the Texans can do that. If you think they can do that, okay, then take Bryce Young. If not, I would argue that it's not worth it. 713-780-ESPN. 1209. What if Vegas, Atlanta, or Carolina trades up for Young, Stroud, then you take Anderson in the 7-9 range and pick up an extra first? Love it. Love the idea of trading down and collecting draft capital. I believe the Texans, from a roster point of view, are so bad and behind the rest of the league that they have no choice but to do something like that.
Well, but then the question becomes, when do you get a quarterback? How do you get a quarterback? Can you get the quarterback that you do desire when you desire to get and are focused in on a quarterback that you really like? And those are the variables that are you know, will weigh heavy in terms of making that decision.
Do you think you have to have a top pick to do that, though?
I think, and look, and I don't want to go back and do all the deep dive again on all the draft picks.
Why not?
Because I think that there are many different ways to get a quarterback. But I think that, you know, you try to eliminate as many of the ways that where you have to give up extra draft picks or you have to give up a ton of money, like if you signed a guy in free agency and immediately had to pay him one of those monster deals that we've highlighted don't get you to the Super Bowl. As a matter of fact, it's quite the opposite. When you have a quarterback making that much money, the percentages go way down to get to a Super Bowl. So it worries me a little in that you kind of control your entire destiny and future in terms of it wouldn't cost you anything other than that pick to get the quarterback. But if you're not sold on a quarterback, if you're not sold on one guy and are completely dialed in because you can have your pick of any one of them, and if you feel like none of these guys in this draft are worthwhile and you're not convinced they are going to be a franchise quarterback that's going to be really good, then you have to have the balls to be able to move on from that and say, I need to make sure that my roster is the best, that I'm improving my roster by a large margin from year to year with these kind of picks.
I wouldn't go as far to say that you're just as likely to hit on a quarterback with the Browns pick as you are at one. I'm not going to go that far because at one, you have the pick of the litter. And if you have a good general manager and a good scouting department, you should be able to draft better at one than wherever Cleveland's pick is landing. But in the history of the NFL for the last 10 years, it's just as likely to get a really good quarterback at 10 than it is at number one.
It is. It's just, again, a lot of it, too, when we had this conversation a week or so ago, was supply and demand, too. And how many teams around you or that are trying to get a quarterback are willing to move up so that the competition drives up where these quarterbacks are drafted. And that's concerning as well because, look,
I don't know if I would say that, though, because if you look at, again, just like the last 10 years, how often has the first quarterback taken, wherever it's at, whether it's one, whether it's five, whether it's 12, has been the best quarterback of that draft class?
No, I'm not saying that, Jeremy, but what I'm saying is we're talking about building this roster up.
But you talked about the supply and the demand of the quarterback
right,
position.
Right, but so the rumor right now is that the top four quarterbacks in this draft could all be gone in the top eight picks, possibly.
How many?
There's four quarterbacks.
I would bet that. I would bet the opposite of that.
Okay, but what I'm saying, if that is the case, like a year ago, if you passed on all the quarterbacks and you made that decision, don't blame you at all. And I think that would have been the right decision to make. But when you have multiple guys to choose from here, then it becomes: are you giving up draft capital? If you get enough draft capital to move down, and you still get to get one of those guys, and you have to give anything up, and you're more convinced, it's like when the Celtics knew that Jason Tatum was their guy. And they knew that the Sixers were enamored with Markelle Fultz.
Uh-huh.
They still got the guy that they wanted, and they got unbelievable return in terms of being able to trade down. If the Texans can get unbelievable return and still get a guy that they want, then I understand it. I'm for it, and I think it's a savvy move. But you got to make sure the guy you want is there, or you just got to be willing to be able to say, I'm going to have the balls to say, I don't want a quarterback this year.
See, I think there's a lot that goes into trading down. I mean, it depends on the return, too, so it's difficult to have these conversations. Do you think the Texans are a quarterback away?
No.
That's where I'm at. Like, if you think that they're not a quarterback away...
If you think the Texans are a quarterback away, you drink way too much. You're drunk on blue Kool-Aid.
I would agree. I would completely agree. Brendan slapped on his headphones like he was about to say something.
It's just so hard to get the quarterback once you're a quarterback away.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying it's
possible. I disagree with that. I completely disagree with that. The Buffalo Bills traded up to get their quarterback. The Kansas City Chiefs traded up to get their quarterback. Baltimore just drafted late in the first round to get their quarterback. Go look at the Philadelphia Eagles. They drafted Jalen Hurts in the second round. I don't think it's as difficult as people make it seem to be.
What about the Titans who don't have a quarterback?
They signed him in free agency.
What about Washington, who doesn't have a quarterback?
Like, they signed him to their practice squad and elevated him.
Okay, yeah, but those guys are still a quarterback away. That's the point I'm making.
Sure.
So
why didn't they trade like Kansas City traded? They could have done that. Just any team in the NFL could have traded up like Kansas City did.
You can point to success stories, and they absolutely exist. There are also stories of teams who then can't figure out how to get their quarterback.
Sure, but there's no guarantee that drafting a dude at number one is going to be that guy either.
The concern I have is you got to get a trade partner, and then you got to make sure that you're not giving up a boatload to get back to where you need to go to get that quarterback this year or next year, because then you're defeating the purpose of building and fortifying the rest of your roster if you've got to give up too much, because there's teams that are trying to get up, and now you've got two or three teams trying to get where you want to go.
Okay. Didn't bother Kansas City.
But Kansas City was okay.
What do you mean? That's like, show me the example where it didn't, because you can only show me one. Like the exception to this rule is only Joe Burrow. That's the only exception to this rule. Everybody else easily got their quarterback that any team in the NFL could have done, but they didn't have, you know, the wherewithal to do it, the knowledge to do it.
I'm saying as it relates to the Texans, I don't want them to have to give up, whether it's a year from now or whenever, if they're not in the position to have any quarterback they want, or if they have to move up.
When was the last time the Texans had a franchise quarterback?
I mean, Deshaun Watson would be.
How'd they acquire him?
Right. They moved up and they got him.
Right. So why couldn't they do that in a year?
I'm not saying that they can't, Jeremy, but I'm saying you can't like turn a blind eye to the fact that if multiple teams are trying to move up and they're pushing the price tag up, that you're going to cost the roster.
That Deshaun
regardless.
Watson year, two other teams moved up ahead of the
this
Texans
isn't
to draft
that Deshaun Watson the year, though. You
but
don't
you can't
know
point
who's
to another
to
example.
Up.
I'm pointing to example. You're just saying things without any sort of evidence or tangible stuff.
I'm not.
Stuff.
And Brendan made a different point than me. I'm just saying that it's not as easy as it seems. I said this the other day. You have to have a team that's willing to trade with you and give up the pick. You have to avoid all the competition pushing up the price, because then we talk about all these assets that they have, all these draft capital, then they have to hit on them. But the more you give up, the less your roster gains to get better.
It's kind of the inversion of trading down from number one, because now you're now trading capital
right,
to trade back up.
Yeah, and hopefully you got more for trading down than you have to give up to move back up. But chances are you're going to have to give up quite a bit to get up to get the guy you want.
But you're also a year further in the rebuild, and you think that the talent roster, the talent on the team in the 53 would be better in a year. Well, I mean, I think you can use this year and last year as an example. This year's roster is better than last year's example. I think even if you trade down from number one for future picks, next year's roster is better than this year's
roster. It is more damaging to miss. And your route, I believe your route is an option. I'm not closed off on your route. I think it is more damaging if you miss on your route, because you trade up to take a quarterback and then you miss.
I'm not saying that you necessarily need to trade up for a quarterback either. Like, y'all are kind of like inserting that in my philosophy. You could draft a quarterback at 32. You could draft a quarterback this year with Cleveland's pick. My philosophy is don't draft one at one. You could draft one for the pick that you trade down for.
I believe in the validity of your option. I just think it absolutely puts you in a tough spot where you're now going, okay, how the hell do we get a quarterback? Not that it's impossible.
I just gave you a bunch of reasons. 32, the Browns pick, the picks that you're trading down with, your first rounder in 2024,
and no
the draft capital
the NFL,
you have in 2024.
No good teams in the NFL who are struggling to figure out what to do at quarterback. Never happens.
Agreed.
There are teams on both sides.
But like, you can also have the conversation, how did the good teams in the NFL get their quarterbacks? How did they get their quarterbacks? With the exception of Joe Burrow, they got him with relative ease. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I want to have a drink with some of these quarterbacks, by the way. I think it's a good way for me to learn about these quarterbacks, whether it's Will Levis, whether it's Bryce Young, whether it's C.J. Stroud. I can learn a lot about a man whenever I have a drink with that person. And the best way to have a drink with a person was Gentle Bend Spirits. The vodka, the gin, the bourbon, all part of that rotation for me. You know this by now. Gentle Bend uses their state-of-the-art, innovative, Prosecco craft technology that's better in purity, it's better in aroma, it's better in taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gentle Bend is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. Try a sip of Gentle Bend. Compare it to your brand. You're going to taste a huge difference, same difference that I did when Ricky Ford, owner of Gentle Bend Spirits, A&M Class of 85, by the way, hosted me at his tasting room in Alvin, and ever since then, I've been a Gentle Bend man. It is smooth. It is clean. It eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink. don't work through your drink. Of course, you can find Gentle Ben Vodka and Gin, Total Wine, and Specs, also online at gentleben.com. But big news, that bourbon, double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards, by the way, you can get that on the market now as well. 10 different Specs locations around Houston. In Galveston, Economy Liquor. If you're in Pearland, pick it up at SKO Liquor. League City, try Reserve Liquor. They have it there as well. Get your hands on this bourbon, the double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards. Also, big news. You go into a Rockets game, you can get Gentle Ben at any bar inside the Toyota Center, and also swing by Section 125 and join the Gentle Ben Bar and get a little bit of a Big Shot Bob specialty signature drink there at the Gentle Ben Bar inside the Toyota Center, Section 125. Sit back with good company and raise a glass to the very best, Gentle Ben.
Turn down for what?
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I believe Texans fans have already made up their mind on who they want. They want Bryce Young. They don't care if it's quarterback. They want Bryce Young. They specifically want Bryce Young. You can head over to ESPN 97.5 on Twitter and vote on this. The vote's a little bit tighter than I would say. The survey says, what quarterback do you want for the Texans in the draft? Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, other or none? Bryce Young currently leads at 55%. 29% says none. Am I convincing the city to not take a quarterback at number one?
Your influence is unbelievable.
I think it is.
I think that's still a pretty high percentage for Bryce Young when you consider other and none are both options.
I thought it would be, honestly, I thought it would be in the 70s.
Yeah, it's a little low, but I'm just saying, like, other and none really leaves a lot of options
True.
On the table.
Yeah, it does. It's a little gray there. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, get Julian in here. Julian, you're in the high for the Killer Bees. What's up, Julian?
How you doing, gentlemen? Let me start off by saying, bang, bang, Niner game in Brockery Trucks. Second, look, man, there is no line on the Texans. There's no line. There's no tight ends. There's no playmakers. Pierce, God saved him by getting him hurt so he wouldn't just wear his ass out. So, no, they don't need a quarterback. They need to get a pass rusher or, I don't know, maybe start on the O-line. They finally addressed the O-line last year with Green, but before then was the last time they even concentrated on the O-line. Well, I feel like they always get some bums, except for Tunsil with those smoking ass.
Julian's great. Jeez. Thanks for calling, Julian. Make it a habit to call into the Killer Bees. Julian's perspective is interesting here on a couple of fronts. One, I disagree with the line on both points. The Texans have spent a lot of capital on offensive line. Julian, you mentioned it on the way out there. The old smoking bum in Laramie Tunsil, although I think Laramie Tunsil's playing at an all-pro level. The Texans used a lot of draft capital for Laramie Tunsil, 2 first-round draft picks, and then for some reason a 3rd for Kenny Stills. Thank you, Bill O'Brien. They also used a first-rounder on Tytus Howard, and then you mentioned Kenyon Green, first-rounder that they drafted at number 15. So the Texans have used 4 first-round draft picks to build this offensive line, and I would also say that the offensive line, I believe, is better than most people think. Again, Laramie Tunsil playing at a high level. Tytus Howard has not given up many sacks. Now, the interior of the offensive line is where you need work. You must have Kenyon Green develop after you use a mid-round, first-rounder to draft him. Some of that's on the offensive line coach. It's getting the development out of Kenyon Green. Kenyon Green's had flashes where he's played well. He's also had flashes where he's looked like the worst left guard in the National Football League. Center and right guard, I think, are a couple of backups, and you need to improve in that spot. I don't think the line is as difficult to shore up to protect a rookie quarterback as some other people think.
No, I agree with that. But I think that, look, they have the options in front of them that they could. We talked about this in the past when we talked about what we need to see and what the Texans need to do. You know, center and right guard are issues that they have to shore up. But they have the ability, with Tunsil still under contract for one more year, if they want to retain Tytus Howard, you know, and again, if they really truly get guys that can work with coach and develop the first-round pick of a year ago in Kenyon Green, the makings are there in terms of the line itself. Now, the tight end is another situation that we've addressed that said they have to do something for next year no matter who the quarterback is, but especially if you get a guy that you're relying on to be the guy, he needs all options on deck, and he needs a tight end that he can trust, that can catch, that he can throw to. So I believe that they have more than just a less than stellar line sitting there already, and it won't take that much, whether it be in free agency or in the draft, to get two guys to really solidify your front five guys. I think they're in better position than a lot of other teams, but there are obviously weak holes that have to be filled.
Yeah, like, and what you need, like, you're not going to replace Kenyon Green. Kenyon Green's going to be your left guard next year, for better or for worse. He's your left guard next year. What the Texans need to upgrade center and right guard, it isn't going to take necessarily a first-round draft pick. You can start to fix it up in the second, but you still need to do that. Like, you can fix it up in the middle of the draft and then free agency if you want to spend first and second rounders elsewhere. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, 5180. Texan fans are too comfortable just being competitive. The Texans need to find a team willing to empty the draft pick cabinet, trade down. We need to focus on building a great team instead of a competitive one. That's where I feel the Texans fans are, quite honestly. I keep hearing things, Blankers, about how the Texans need to get the fan interest. The Texans need to draft Bryce Young for perception, to fill, you know, butts in the seat in an NRG stadium. And I understand for owners that can be a priority. I don't want the owner of my sports team letting that be the priority. If you're making decisions because of the fan, because of the perception, because of the interest, because you just want to win 8 or 9 games, that is hard for me to support and get behind.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, if you want to just do things for perception, then you should go out. Then you should go out and get Johnny Manziel, because the hype train is going to sell tickets and build excitement. Because you go get a guy that everybody looks at and says, "Oh, you know what? From the money signs to all the things he did at A&M and winning the Heisman Trophy, that's why you go get that guy." That's when an organization has the wrong people making decisions. You need to get guys that are the reality, not perception, is nothing. The reality is you need to get a guy that can play on the field and is going to do that for years and years to come. If you don't believe it's in this year's draft, then you got to have the balls to be able to move on from it. If you do believe he's in this year's draft, then no matter what the fans think you should do and who they think you should draft, if you are enamored and completely believe wholeheartedly there is someone else better and someone else that you have your eye on, then you are in that position for a reason, and you need to get your guy. Because at the end of the day, that's the guy that's going to seal your fate with this franchise more so than anything else. So you've got to do it the way you want to do it. Otherwise, why are you in the job in the first place?
See, where we disagree is how to do it. But where we're on the same page is that the heck with what the fans want. The heck with the whole, the Texans need interest. They need intrigue. No, they need to be a really good football team that can be contenders whenever you can get there. Because if you're not aspiring to be a champion, if you're not aspiring to build the very best football team that you can build with the interest of winning more than interest and fans and support, all that stuff, then I think you're doing it all wrong. Now, some owners are that way. I agree. I know. But I can't support like that type of organization, that philosophy.
Nor should you. Look, you're not trying to win the National Football Marketing Championship trophy.
Or sell, even if you just want to go as simple as like season tickets.
Or the,
because
yeah.
Bryce Young would sell more season tickets.
And I wrote tickets in with marketing. It's okay. The business side of things, right? There is no Lombardi trophy for the business side. And you're not trying to win that. You're trying to win the Lombardi trophy.
Yeah.
And you know what? And if you're in the competition to win the Lombardi trophy, you're going to win or have a chance to win the other trophy too. Because you're going to be where the Texans used to be. You're going to have 70,000 on the waiting list. You're going to have a sold-out house every single night. You're going to have your jerseys flying off the shelves and all the gear and all the tailgaters. Because you're going to have a team that people care about again. Mm-hmm. But if you're trying to win the fans over, and that's how you're making decisions, then you should be on the marketing side. You shouldn't be on the football side.
And the Texans in the past haven't always done it for the fan interest. Like Vince Young, I think, is one that you point to. Going Mario Williams over Vince Young and Reggie Bush, brave, bravado.
That was a different regime. Really gutsy.
Different regime with Smith and Bob McNair. Now you got Cal and maybe Caserio, although some people want Caserio fired. Mr. Brian Cortez on Twitch says, if you trade down in the draft for more picks, skip on Young, what makes you think the draft picks you traded for turn out to be good? Volume. If you're trading one pick for four picks,
chances are first round picks make it more so than other guys down the line.
And maybe four is outrageous, but maybe you trade one first rounder, number one, for Detroit's, because Detroit has two firsts, so we like to use them as an example. Let's just say that's 5 and 15. I feel I have a better chance to hit on one at 5 and 15 than I do at number one. It's just volume. It's a math game. It's probability.
But your roster gets better if you have three first round picks as opposed to one.
Yeah. again, probability, right? Just kind of a numbers game when it comes to that. 5208, don't draft a quarterback this year, then who plays quarterback next season? See, I think there's multiple options there. Because I like the idea of, like, if you go Jalen Carter at number one, and let's say that Wilson kid from Texas Tech and edge rusher with the Browns pick, all of a sudden you have a pretty formidable defense. Like, you have a really good, promising defense that you think can be, you know, a defense that can win you football games in the very near future. There's multiple options, I think, to getting a quarterback. If I eliminate quarterback in the first round, like I just did with that scenario, you had the 32nd pick of the draft. Could be Hendon Hooker in that spot. Now, Hendon Hooker, you're probably going to have to redshirt him for a little while, which kind of negates the point. But also, what about a third or fourth rounder? Like, there's some pretty intriguing prospects in the third or fourth round in this year's draft, whether Rattler, I know people don't like that name, whether he declares, the Ward kid from Washington State, Jaron Hall from BYU, Tanner McKee, you're probably not taking another Stanford quarterback. But there's some intriguing names in the third or fourth round that you could go that route, or you can just go try to go with a bounce back.
Just
player.
Get a bridge.
Jordan Love is a name that I've mentioned. Zach Wilson, who knows what the Jets are going to do with him in the offseason as well.
Darnold,
yeah.
Teddy
now
Bridgewater.
You're going
too far. I'm just talking about bridge. Look, Darnold the last 2 weeks hasn't looked like he's hot garbage. Where I think Darnold is an upgrade over the two quarterbacks you have right now. I think that you just have to also be willing to accept the fact that a bridge quarterback for another year might be in the plans, and it's not the worst thing in the world if you're fortifying the rest of the roster. Because you're, one, setting someone, preventing whenever you do get your franchise quarterback from getting crushed. And two, you're getting a guy who needs you as much as you need them because they need the opportunity to see if they can still play. And in certain cases, like a Bridgewater, he's proven in short sample sizes that for a 5, 6, 7 game span, he can win some football games for you, and he knows how to play in the NFL. So you're missing that whole, all the things we talked about Davis Mills. Well, can he stop looking off receivers? Can he go through his progressions? Does he know where the ball needs to go? Teddy Bridgewater knows all those things. It's just at how high a level can he do them consistently?
Every Wednesday at 2, the stories we've been trying to get to, we've been dying to get to, in case you missed it, with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Dr. O and his staff do a fantastic job. They care about their patients. They are trying to help you on a daily basis. And you're not trying to win a gold medal. You're trying to win the day. In order to win the day, you need energy. And they have a multitude of ways they can get more energy in your life. Hormone therapy available for both men and women. It goes all the way up to cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy, where men and women can come in every 6 months, just once every 6 months, and get the energy every single day as you go through your daily regimen. If you want to do it by going into the office weekly, they can do that too. If you want to learn how to administer it at home and they get you the product, you can do that as well. You want to start a little simpler? Just get a B12 shot every week like I do. I feel like I get more energy on a daily basis, and it works for me. It may be right for you too. You want to get on a workout program? Start with a full body composition analysis, because you can chart your results and see when your body fat goes down, when your muscle mass goes up, and check all the appropriate numbers. You want to recover quicker? HGH peptide therapy. Stuff for your smoothies, got that too. Two locations to better serve you in your downtown Houston. Get the process going by checking out all the services they offer at apollomh.com. If you see some services that you think could help you, set up an appointment. Most major insurance is accepted. There's discounts for military personnel and first responders. You mention my name, Joel Blank, you get a free B12 shot or a free body composition analysis on your first official visit, and then let the process go from there. Tell them what you're trying to achieve. Tell them where you're lacking. They're going to put you on a program that works. They're going to get you results. They're good people doing great things. They're the people at Apollo Men's Health.